7, verse 14. Romans 7:14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." What Paul is talking about here is the debate that dwells within each and every last one of us. In us is the desire to do wrong, to commit sin. And there's a lot of folks that go to great lengths to deny that that exists. Right? In me is no desire to do this, that, or the other. You may not have a desire to commit all the sins, but you do have a desire to commit the sin. And we've had this religion, this philosophy that's been taught to us for centuries, that because you feel it, because you desire it, therefore it must be good. But what Paul says is that inward deep desire of mine is contrary to the will of God, to the law of God. And I desire it, and it wars against the part of me that says that it is wrong. We knock on the door, we will find people in the midst of this battle, where they're giving in and day out to the inward struggle to do the wrong thing. Let's hop into that great big van of those, drive down over to the local prison. Every person there, unless they were truly wrongfully convicted, gave in to the war within themselves to do wrong. But when you are saved, you are given a desire to do the things of God. And now there's that war. Because in your mind, as Paul says, I desire to do the law of God. But in my flesh is the desire to do the law of sin. And I've got this will, I've got this ability to make the decision, but I'm messing up. And what you do is you see a lot of Christians in the midst of that battle start to struggle with a little thing we call confidence. Oh, I can't do that. I'll never be able to do this. This sin that I've struggled with, I'll never be able to take care of it. I'll never be able to handle it. I'll never be able to serve the Lord in that way. I'll never be able to step into that ministry, step into that service. I'll never be able to know that. I'll never be as smart as that. We sit there and we fight with a little thing called confidence. And today we need to look at Paul's prescription. What do we do when our sin has put us at odds with confidence? Where does a lack of confidence come from? Are we born with it? Was it a failure on the part of our parents or teachers? Before we can get that, before we get too far into that line of thinking, we have to examine what the word confidence means and where it came from. The word confidence itself shows up around the 1400s. That is an assurance or belief in the goodwill, veracity, etc. of another. from the old French confident, the words literally confidence in French, or directly from the Latin confidentia, we see it mean firmly trusting or bold. And we can kind of look into the different root causes of it back down to the Latin, but that's pretty much it. That I have assessed something and I have developed a belief that it is trustworthy and sound. Right? Is the water hot or cold? So I assess it. All right, that's good. I can jump into that. Right? Based off my assessment, do I trust it? Right? You're climbing a ladder. Is it sturdy? So what do? You always climb up the first two rungs and shake it a little bit, right? Right? Okay. I trust. I tested it and I trusted it. But come the 1500s, when the Renaissance was in full swing, and we see a lot more humanism in there. Again, we see the humanism swelling with the Renaissance. The word confidence was no longer a matter of just an assessment and my belief in something's strength and integrity. It becomes an inward thing. How do I feel about myself? And what we've done more and more as we've grown on through the centuries is we've lost the assessment part and we've spoken to more of a general feeling of ourselves. Where does that get us? Again, this is humanism, this is human worship. Where does that get us? It gets us at odds with the accurate description that Paul gives us. That the problem is that there's a war. And the side that I feed the most, the side that I practice the most, will win. It is no longer a matter of how do you feel about yourself. Confidence is an integrity problem. You understand? The problem with confidence is not whether you believe in yourself or not. It is an integrity issue. You lack confidence, or you lack trust in your ability to do something because there's failure somewhere. And you got to address the failures. Translation is simply this through the scripture, that you've let your flesh serve the law of sin enough times that you believe that you are stuck that way. I'm always going to do this. I'm always going to fail in this way. But that is not what the Word of God says. Confidence has become a thing of faith in yourself. And that is the problem. That is the problem. You are expecting yourself to be perfect. And what you have done is you've denied the doctrine of grace. You've denied yourself the ability to go to God and ask for strength and guidance and freedom from that temptation. And we call it, oh yes, oh man. And that's where Paul is. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, what a pathetic creature I am. I've got this part of me that wants to do that. I got this part that wants to do right. Oh no. But Paul doesn't leave it there, does he? Paul's teaching us something here. Paul's teaching in this letter. He's teaching this. This is what he says. Hold on, let me find it. That would have been really cool if I had my finger on it. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. And my flesh serves the law of sin. Now, wait a minute, why is he excited that the flesh? Because you can beat the flesh. You can, can't you? I could beat the flesh. My mind can beat the flesh anytime I want to. I could pull that. I can go to the Lord when I'm lacking strength, when I'm lacking certainty. I can go to the scriptures. And if I lack the confidence or whatever, if I'm struggling with it, I could call a friend. My mind can beat the flesh anytime I want. As a matter of fact, many of us, we make habits of that, right? Maybe you've got an exercise thing that you do, so you put your workout clothes right there by the side of the bed. Oh, there they are, all right. Maybe you're like me and you like the food a little bit too much, so you got to tell yourself, all right, another 45 minutes and we'll go to lunch, right? Maybe we'll get a smaller plate, we'll do this, we'll do that. Hey, listen, every time I walk by this place, I get tempted to go over there and all these memories come back. So I don't go that way anymore. I go this way. And by the way, that's a lot faster of a way anyway. We all do that and we all beat the flesh by using what? Our minds.
But instead, we've bought into the doctrine of humanism, the teachings of humanism, where I'm just, I am what I am. And now we've entered into a phase where every fault and flaw is a worship of, is a worship-worthy characteristic. It's not a fault, it's not sin, it's not wrong. It's a fun little quirk that makes me who I am. We've allowed the devil to teach something wrong. And we as Christians need to recognize that that has no place in us, that our sin is not who we are, that we have options. What we need first is integrity in our actions. We see this time and time again, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bring me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not do, that I do. He's got a very basic problem here. He lays out a very basic issue here, right? That I need to practice not doing the things that I wouldn't do. You need to practice doing the thing, not doing the things you shouldn't do. Well, how do I practice not doing something? It's very simple. You practice what to do when that temptation shows up at your door. You practice what to do. We used to have this neighbor that would come over, and she had some issues, but she'd come over and she'd get upset at something, and she'd come over and she'd yell at us about it like we did it. Her cable would go out. Her husband wouldn't come home. She didn't have enough money for eggs or something like that. My brother and I, we'd be at home all summer and enjoying ourselves, and it was good. But then she'd come over and start hollering at the door. So we had a thing that we did. One of us would take the remote and turn off the TV. The other one would slowly slip out of the room so she wouldn't see that we were home. She'd knock on the door. She'd go, we had a plan. Because if you open that door, you're going to be sitting there. And so your mom came home hearing her go over and over whatever thing. We knew what to do. We did the same thing to the Jehovah's Witnesses. One of them, we can hear the TV on. My brother has no sense. He turned the TV off. We saw you turn the TV off. That's creepy. We had a plan. Right? I have a, when Danielle starts cooking stuff, I have a plan. It's called get out of the house. Right? She'll be sitting there. She'll be making something for a fellowship or something. She'll make that cinnamon cheesecake. She'll make the Oreo cookie cake. She'll get out of the house. Why? Because I will be a thorn in her side. Get a plan. This is what's happening. Temptation's at the door. What do I do? And then you practice that. This is a big one. Right? I would not want to do this. It's big and I kind of want to do it. So I've got a plan. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to call that pastor. I'm going to call brother so-and-so. We're going to pray. We're going to do this. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to get out of the situation. If it's a thing that's happening in the workplace and I can't avoid it, I got to get out of that workplace. I got to find a way around this thing because I don't want to do this. And as much as I don't want to do it, there's a part of me that does want to do it. So I've got to find a way to circumnavigate this thing. I got to short circuit it before it gets too far. I got to stop it. Just like any common disaster in our home, be it a pipe leak or whatever have you, you want to stop it at the source. And you'd like to prevent it if you could. You'd like to prevent it. I sat there and I lectured the guys that were putting our apartments back together when we'd get them. And I said, you've got to be thorough. You got to be thorough. Oh, yeah. So you know what I did? For a month, I swapped the guys that did the work orders with the guys that prepped the homes. Those guys were going into the work orders to fix the mistakes that they made when they were prepping it. And guess what? Had a really good team after that. Because they understood the problems that were being caused by that. So guess what they did? They had a desire to prevent the problems from happening. What we're reading here is the things that I would not do, I must be strengthened in not doing them. Maybe I need to carry around some verses in my pocket. I knew a man who did that. He smoked for years and he was giving up smoking because the Lord had saved him. And he got rid of the cigarettes and he put a small New Testament in his pocket. And every time he felt the desire to smoke, he'd pull that out and he'd get that out and he'd read for a little bit. That's what he did. I know a lot of people that deal with anger behind the wheel of the road, and that was one of the things you do. You put the little 3x5 cards up there to talk about anger. Or you got some Christian music to play, and you just change your mind. Okay, when this happens, I will go to the Lord, and I will talk to Him. This is a perfect time for me to pray. Hey, it's a perfect time for me to do this or that. And we put the effort in. Now, please don't pick up your Bible while you're supposed to be driving. But we exchange what we wouldn't do with what we would do. See, that was his problem. The things that I wouldn't do, I do. So you need to do the things that your flesh doesn't want to do. That's why we see that passage of Scripture that says what to the flesh? Mortify it. Well, I want to do this. No. Ah. That's how the flesh feels sometimes, doesn't it? It's like a child. I want cake. No. Ah. And if people sit there, well, I feel so sad when I can't do X, Y, or Z. And it just really depresses me when I can't do X, Y, or Z. Yeah, that's because your flesh has gotten too strong. It's gotten too strong. If you're sitting, you need to handle your will. There's a problem there. And we have to practice mortifying the flesh. We have to practice telling ourselves no when no is the right answer. Otherwise, what are we? We are creatures driven by passion, no different than those that sit in jail for heinous crimes. That is how they got there. They fed the flesh and they allowed passion to be their brain and they did ridiculous things. What difference would be us? The only difference between us that give in to it and our sin and them that give in to it is the law catching them. They've done something illegal and they got caught for it. By the way, that's training for that, by the way. Letting your passion and your whims decide for you. We must mortify it. We must have a plan for when temptation shows up to the door. Bible says, resist the devil and he'll what? Flee. You must resist him. Here's an idea. Let's take a card out of Joseph. Let's take one of Joseph's cards here. When temptation presents itself, run. Now, you don't have to physically run, but sometimes maybe you do. Remove yourself from that situation. Amen. I'm not going to have it. There's things that we've done. The very first thing we're going to do at camp is I'm going to sit everybody down. I'm going to go over my rules. Many of you who've worked with children in this church, I've got rules. And I tell you what I've got the ability. I've got just enough money in my pocket to send somebody home on a Greyhound bus. My pastor taught me that. And I'm bringing it with me. Send them home on a Greyhound bus. Why? You can't follow the rules. You're going to be a danger. Get out of here. Set the rules up. Well, I'm not comfortable. No, you get to the Bible. You set rules for your life. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to put this in motion to make sure I don't. I never do that because I've made an agreement between me and God. I won't do it. And when we fail, we've got no one else to blame but ourselves. We had every ability to run from that. And so often we get caught up in our excuses. Well, I had to do that because this, that, or the other. Did you know that if we could do that, Jesus Christ would have never had to come die on the cross? If justification could get you into heaven that way, like not justification by the blood of Christ, but self-justification, being a good lawyer for your situation, if that could do it, Jesus would have never gone to the cross. He would have sent us all to law school. We could sit there and make our good debates. Well, it's not really wrong because I did the... No, sin is always sin. Thou shalt not is always thou shalt not. God's not going to put you into a temptation, the Bible says, that he will not get you out of. So you run. You get out of there. Here's an idea. You pray. Father, here's this thing again. And I've apologized for doing this 900 times. And I'm praying that you give me the strength to walk away from this so it's not 901. That's right. What a wonderful thing to go to the Lord in times of temptation. Right, Lord, I'm angry. And you talk over the problem. And I've done that before. I don't know if you have, but I have. I come to the Lord angry. And I've tried to express to him what the problem was. And in expressing to the problem, a peace came over me, partly because I believe the Lord gave a peace to me, and also because I had to say what was bothering me out loud. And once you look at it flat on the page like that, you go, oh, I'm more mature than this, right? I'm angry. They cut me off in traffic. How often does that happen? Happens a lot. As a matter of fact, we were driving back from picking up the van yesterday. I saw two cars whip in front of Danielle. Lord, I'm angry. Of course, I don't know how I'm going to catch him in a 15-passenger van to express that. Kind of hard to demonstrate road rage in a big old van like this. Gonk, gonk. What am I going to do? No, you talk to the Lord. Lord, I'm angry because my spouse did this. All right, Lord, I hear it. I hear it. Because in our minds, firecrackers, explosions, and battles, and this is warfare, and then when you actually see what the battle is over, you feel like a child arguing over a toy. Lord, I'm sitting here in this house, and I'm tempted to do this thing. Oh, okay, I hear it right there. I need to get out of this house alone. Let me have a friend come over. Let me go over somewhere else. I'm feeling temptation in work. I'm feeling temptation here. Whatever it is, you go to the Lord immediately. You ask for the solution. You ask for the strength to walk away. And guess what the Lord will do without fail? Provide you a way out of it.
That's right.
We do not sin because we don't have a choice. We fail to look for the other choices. More often, that's what it is. Very rarely have I ever seen anybody commit a crime and it'd be perfectly okay because there was no other option. More often than not, we refuse to look for the option and we're justifying it after doing the deed. Oh yeah, because of this, Now, if you would have stopped before you did the sin, you'd have found multiple options ahead of you. You go to the Lord and you pray. You go to the Lord and you pray for the options. And I tell you what you need to be doing every day without fail is getting into the Word of God. You need to set the tone in your mind. This is my focus today. This is my example today. And as you hear of the faults and the failures of those that recorded, and I want to remind you, the failures of the people in the Word of God were not recorded for their embarrassment, but for your edification. It was not there. The way Peter talked was not there to shame Peter, but to educate you. Recording David's massive failure is not there to put a mark on him, but for you to learn about temptation. The successes and the failures are all there to teach you about sin and what to do. We need to read. We need to see exactly what's expected of us and have that sitting right there. I mean, we're not subtle about what we believe here at our church. I was kind of chuckling. One of the funeral directors was asking me questions. And she goes, well, do you have like a list of things that your church, like a succinct list of things that your church believes and agrees on? And I kind of looked over and I go, yeah, we got a little list. And I turned around and I looked at the giant church covenant that we got in the back. Yeah, we got a little list. And she was just kind of, she got right in front of it and just started doing this. Read it with her whole body, you know? We know what we believe. We're not subtle about it. But I tell you what, let me ask you this. Let me just ask you this. When was the last time you read the church covenant? We all know where it is. I got a couple hundred copies down there in the office. When was the last time you stopped to read it? It sneaks up on you, don't it? It's not like you purposely ever made the decision. I'm not going to read the church covenant, just like you probably don't make the decision. I'm not going to read the Bible. It just happens. In a way that it doesn't happen. You're just not reading it. And time goes by, you're not reading the Bible. And all of a sudden you're caught up in sin and you go, why, gee, I wonder how that happened. It's because the example's been removed from your eyes. You're not paying attention to it. You're not reading it. It's not ever present to you. You lack discernment. You're getting into problems. You're getting into situations you would not get into had you read the Bible. You're doing the things that you wouldn't do because you're not paying close enough attention to the rules. There's a reason why you don't let young kids sit by themselves because they don't know any better, right? I'm not talking sit by themselves. I'm like at home. Right? They'll turn the stove on. They'll open all the windows and start throwing your stuff out. Right? My parents, they were downstairs one day. They were hanging out with their friends. And all of us kids were upstairs. And guess what we decided? We decided that we wanted a snow day the next day at school. So we got into mom's laundry detergent and all the powdered soap she had. We poured it out the window so it would look like it was snowing. 70 degrees outside, so don't worry, we weren't cold. That's what kids do. They don't think. They don't want, they got no sense. They don't buy the stuff. But what happens? Maturity sets in. What happens? How does maturity set in? They learn. And they're reminded. And all of a sudden they get it. They understand the value of certain things. They understand the purpose of certain things. Right? So they move on. And every now and then they call you up as adults. Hey, how do I do this? How do I do that? How do I handle this? What's the big deal? You need that. You reading the Bible every day is a check and double check on what you're supposed to know. It is a reminder every day. Some of us, we check our bank accounts every day. But do you check the scripture every day? Some of us, we check the daily news and the schedules. We look at our day timer all the time. But how many of us are checking in every day, maybe even multiple times a day if you can pull it off, with the Word of God? To fail to plan is to plan to fail, we've heard so many times. And that's what not reading the Bible is. It is planning to let sin get a hold of you. There must be a plan to reduce temptation. Didn't we sing that with the kids this morning? Oh, be careful, little eyes. Oh, be careful, little ears. Oh, be careful. Be careful. Why? Because what you watch, what you listen to, you adapt to. And it's amazing how the same people that will sit there and bark at me for saying, oh, you're just saying that that's some kind of a mind control. How dare you? You're so limited in mind. You're so short-sighted. Okay, well, why do you listen to it? Well, it puts me in a good mood. It makes me feel the... Oh, so you're saying that has an emotional effect on you? Yes. And does it have a mental effect on you? Well, yes. Right? I love how they express themselves, and it teaches me a lot of stuff about their lifestyles and this and that and blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden you've got Christians who will amen me saying you ought not to drink, listening to some guy sing about drinking whiskey because the Bible is in that song somewhere. We get backwards on stuff. There must be a plan to avoid temptation. Not just what to do with it when it shows up, but to get it to forget where your door is. The devil will eventually realize, I've rung at this house so many times, it's not coming. They're not going to hearken to it. I pray for them, but they don't answer. We need to have a plan when temptation comes knocking, or we will always do that which we would not do. We also need to be aware if there's already sin in the house. We need to be aware of it. You know what? My mom's name is Pebble. We weren't allowed to watch the Flintstones growing up. So we had to watch the Flintstones when mom wasn't around. Remember that part in the Flintstones where Fred would throw the dog out, or the dinosaur out? And what would he do? He'd come right back in. He'd turn around, that dinosaur slam the door in his face. That was it. When I was a kid, that was the best, man. That was hilarious. But that's what we're doing with our sin. All right, get out of here. But we left the window open. It's already in the house again. Right? I'm sorry. And we left the window open, and there it is. It's still in the house. Is your sin still in the house? Is your sin still in the house? Is it still in the car? Do you still have access to it? Do you even know what sins you're committing? Have you even put in the effort to make a list of all the sins that you know you're committing? Are you aware of it? You should be. You should be. We ought to know the stuff's there. Like, could you imagine finding a whole person just in your house somewhere? I heard that story one time. There was these people, they heard some voices coming up from their attic, and they went up there and they found a whole person squatting in their attic. Sins like that. We act like it's not there. And I've sat there and I've wondered, how do you not know? Like, how do you not notice that you're missing toilet paper and somebody got into your Fruit Loops? Like, how do you not realize? We live that way with our sin. How do you not know that you've done this so many times? How do you not know that you always have a habit of doing this? How are you not aware of that? Because we don't want to be aware of it. Because we're losing the war within us. Purposefully. Purposefully. We're the prized fighter that throws the fight because they were bribed to. That's what we are. Paul would say, talk about batting at the air. Talking about a boxer, right? Batting at the air. We're not even batting at the air. We're taking a fall on purpose in the worst possible way. It's almost comical the way that we lose our fights. We see sin flex and we fall out. Oh, I was defeated. We need to be aware of what's taking us out. We need to know what we're in the ring with. And some of us, we like to hang on to sin. Oh, I can't throw that out. That's still good. Now, wait a minute. Right? I'll sit down and talk to somebody. Well, I spent a lot of money on this liquor and I don't want to throw it out. What should I do with it? Throw it out. I mean, we could go back in time to like the Wild West where they were pouring liquor on their wounds. But we got better stuff, right? We got better stuff now, right? Works better? Okay. Got better stuff now. Throw it out. Oh, but maybe somebody could use it. That should bother you. If it's not good for you, it's not good for anybody. Somebody takes enough of that stuff, they go out and they kill somebody. Aren't you glad you saved it? Throw it out. There's a lot of people I've seen come to Christ and they've got all the instruments of their sin and they hang on to it. Why? Because it's still good. I spent money and it's still valuable. No. If you can't use it for the glory of God, if all it's ever going to do is remind you of sin, it's a temptation. Get rid of it. Don't give it away. Get rid of it. We need to be able to handle excuses. We need to see the difference between obstructions and obstacles. Well, I tell you what, every time I drive to work, there's this thing and the temptation gets me. So I pull over, I stop, I go do this, or it gets me thinking about that. All right, we'll drive another way. Oh, no, I can't drive another way. Then you need to find something to do when you pass by that. Oh, no, I'm just stuck. I'm just going to sit in this way forever. You've created an obstruction where there's really just an obstacle you can get around. It really is. Whether it be your anger, whether it be lust, whether it be whatever, lack of stewardship, whatever. We dig into that. We figure out what's going on. We get over the obstacles. And we plan ourselves, how do I get over the obstacles so sin doesn't come back in? Now, what do we do about the things that we would do but don't do? Addressing the integrity in our walk. Many of us lack confidence in ourselves because we see how poorly we walk with the Lord. We don't serve Him as well as we should. So we think badly about ourselves. Well, you know what? And it's hit. And it'll be one of those things I think that hits you as your body declines, as there's less that you're physically able to do. You see that. I used to be able to do X, Y, and Z, and now I have troubles doing X, Y, and Z. So all of a sudden, what does that affect? Your confidence. Well, I'm no good. No, you've upgraded to a different level of ministry. That's what's happened. You put in the effort, now you're wisdom. You put in the effort, now you're valuable for what you know and your experience. Now you can teach. Now you can pray. Now you've got new opportunities of people to give the gospel to. Well, I can't walk for miles the way that I used to. Fine, be the driver. Be a driver. You know, sit here back at the church with us, start the coffee and pray while we're out there. Tons of opportunities to serve the Lord. Don't let that get to you. Well, I can't do what I used to do. Or we just don't do what we should do, and that makes us feel bad. You know what the easy solution to that is? Do it. Do it. I've got this watch. And I tell you what, you know me. I got schedules. I got plans. I've got all sorts of stuff. You look into my little folder right now for camp. I've got two schedules. I got the camp schedule. I got the camp director schedule. I know what I need to be doing every 5 minutes at that camp. But I lost my watch. My watch has little things. It'll buzz on me. It'll tell me what I'm supposed to do and when, because I'll get caught up in doing something. I'll be running my mouth somewhere. You know me. I'm always talking to somebody somewhere. Ding. Oh, okay. All right. My wife found it. I said, thank goodness we're all saved. She thought I was being sarcastic and mean. Am I right? Because I go, no, you don't. The alarms. Keep me on schedule. She goes, okay, well, that makes more sense. And I knew that I just averted an insult there. Fantastic! You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You need a plan to make sure you're doing the things that you're supposed to be doing. Make sure you find ways to make sure that you're doing it. Right? Do you have tracks in your car? Do you have we've got those little cards for those that can't carry a lot with them. We've got those little cards you can hand out. We got a ton of them. And when those are, as my pastor used to say, we've got a limited supply of those. And when those are gone, we'll order another limited supply. Do you have those with you? No? All right. Well, then there we are. Step number one, get some material on you. Well, yeah, that's all well and good to give people things. But I also, you know, don't we need to talk to them? Yes. Step number two, start looking into the scripture on some verses to share with somebody. Practice giving your testimony. Practice giving them the plan of salvation. In the mirror, to a doll that you've kept in your knick-knack cupboard, whatever, practice. And then go out and dare yourself to do it. Dare yourself. I was going over some old camp memories. And one of them was jumping off a 10-foot structure onto a large balloon we called the blob. And then you would scoot out to the end of that blob. Somebody would jump down, land on it, and shoot you up into the air, and you'd land in the water. I've always been a little afraid of heights. So I sat there at the edge daring myself. And I know many times in service to the Lord, I've been back at that ledge daring myself to jump. And maybe every now and then you need someone like me to give you a push. And every now and then maybe you need a brother or sister or maybe an opportunity here in the church to give you a little push. But the more you dare yourself, the more likely you are to jump out there and do what God has commanded you to do. You need to set yourself up for success. We need to get our spiritual fitness in on a regular basis. Reading, praying, service. Get your spiritual fitness time in. Get things done for the Lord. Manage excuses. Manage them. Did I really have a reason to not do that? Or am I just making it easy on myself? Can I get this done? If God told me to get this done, God told me to do this, is there really anything that stopped me from doing it? In a tangible way? No, half the time we're just trying to justify why we sinned, why we didn't serve. Don't give yourself an out. Do not give yourself an out when it comes to serving the Lord. Right? Again, physical restrictions aside. Your body can't do certain things, but your heart and mind can. Understood? Sometimes we lay aside what can't, and we pick up more of what we can. Just changes. Confidence, what we understand, is earned. When even though the flesh serves the law of sin, we can still serve God. Because this can be manipulated. This can be changed. Well, I really want to do that. Stop. Right? We talk about things that are valuable in life, right? Danielle quoted one back to me about relationships. My number one advice on, or my two favorite words when it comes down to relationships, right? Shut up. Did you know that that works in multiple different spots? Stop. Well, I got all this temptation. My body really wants to do this, but I know this is wrong. Stop. Let's think. Let's take some time to look at this. God says no, body says yes. God, I can see what would happen if I did it, but there is an emotional payout if I do it. What's going to win out here? Because I tell you what, I love conquering sin in my life, don't you? That is a good feeling. It is. Better than losing my temper on somebody, better than yelling and screaming, better than lying and cheating and whatever, better than doping yourself up. It provides a much bigger relief and a much bigger emotional payout than giving in to the same old sin time and time again. To be able to walk away with a win feels good. Amen. So I tell my body, listen, we're not doing it. We've got a plan. Amen. We're going to work the plan. And we do it. And you feel so much better. You might even pick up the phone. Hey, listen, I just want to tell you I'm so glad. I did not scream at somebody in the car today. People might think you're nuts, but to you it means the world. Man, there's this guy behind me at the bank, and I wanted to punch him in the nose, and I did it. All right. But in all honesty, we need victories. Praise the Lord for those. Build monuments on those. I trusted the Lord, and it went exactly the way He said it did. And I'm going to remember that. Because 20 times tomorrow, different temptations will come in different disguises, and the Lord's going to help me hit down. Because you know what? I do have flaws. There is my body that wants to serve the law of sin. That will always be there. And instead of getting mucked about with, well, does that make me a good person, a bad person? Am I good at it? Am I bad at it? We forget all that stuff. And we realize that will always be there. Therefore, I have to respond this way. It changes the conversation. It's no longer about how I feel about myself. It's what I need to do with myself. It's good to have a plan. Plans give you confidence. Trust in the Lord gives you confidence. Abiding in what the Lord tells you to do gives you confidence because you know it's going to work. Right? I've already got, you know how many times I've looked up the map for where we're going tomorrow? So many times. I've got it on my phone. I've got it saved for my phone to take me there. I've got it saved on my computer to print out tonight so that I've got, just in case my phone for whatever reason blows into 1,000 pieces, I don't know. It's good to have a plan. It's good to have instruction. It's good to follow a right map, right? That's what the Word of God gives us. The Word of God gives us confidence. Yes, I can. No, there's always that temptation, but I can do it, right? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Right? This would strengthen me. This would build me up. This would achieve what He asked me to do. So of course I'm able to do it. Right? That mug is, that's not just for your coffee mug. That's not just for you to be able to sit there and put on your parachute bag so when you jump out, I can do all things through Christ. It's for you to understand that in times just like what we're talking about here, you can do it. God's commanded you to do it. You can do it. That ought to give you confidence. So here I am as a child of God. Right? And here's the writer. Again, let's bounce over to verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because there was a time when I only served the law of sin. But by the gift and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and because God deemed that to be something that needed to be done, I thank Him. Because now there are two sides in this battle. And I know God can give me the victory. In this very particular case, it's giving Him the victory because He's the one who's asked me to do it. He's the one who's asked me not to do certain things. I can trust in Him. Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is not some lackadaisical restorer of vehicles. Right? I think every block has at least one man who's got a vehicle he's fixing to work on one day. Right? We all have, maybe we've got projects of our own, right? We do. We've got projects. Many, and it's not just men. We develop these projects and we get this one and that one and we're going to do this one. And when I really mean to it, one of these days I'm going to do this. But we never get to it. Did you God know God's not like that? He didn't save you to leave you half finished. He didn't save you to leave you to this battle so that the flesh can win. He didn't do that. He's going to continue the work in you. He's going to continue to grow you. The fact of the matter is, what I am failing at right now isn't what I'm stuck in. What I'm not doing right now isn't what I'm stuck in. We need to develop a plan. And in that plan, we fix our integrity. When we fix our integrity, then we'll have something to put our confidence in. And that's the Lord. He can give me the victory. His way, His path, His word. I can find a way through it through Him. You'll never find yourself with a lack of confidence when your confidence is rightly placed. And that's in the Lord. And again, most of the time when we're struggling, it is not about our belief in ourselves. We don't believe in ourselves because we know we're sinners. We know we've messed up a severe number of times. We know what we're capable of. But that's not what we are as Christians. As Christians, we've got the ability to do the things that we wouldn't do. Right? I mean, if anybody knows that, the writer of the book of Romans knows that. You know it. That what the flesh says doesn't have to be what you are. You're not stuck that way. We have a choice. We preached that last week, didn't we? But having a choice. I can trust that whatever God asks me to do is possible because He's the one who asked me to do it. And may take some planning. It may take a little mortifying of the flesh. It may take a little putting some things in place that weren't there before. But it can be done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful that You give us all things. We're grateful, Father, that You give us strength. And the Lord, we can put our confidence in the way that You do things, the way that You would have us do things. Lord, we're thankful for that every time we come to You to ask deliverance from temptation, that You're there for us, that You hear us, that, Father, You're forgiving towards us. And I just ask, Lord, that You train us a little bit better to reach closer to You, to reach out to You when temptation hits, to rely on You for our day-to-day lives, so that we, not struggling with this idea of self-worth or confidence, but instead, Father, see the problem, look for the solution in You, and Lord, ask You for strength to solve the problem, and then go forth and do the work. I pray, Lord, that You fill our days with wins over sin, that in this battle, this war that takes place in our members, that, Lord, it is the Spirit that takes the victory every time. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
As we stand faithful.